Amen. Go ahead and leave that up there for just a second. If you got your Bibles tonight, go ahead and show me you've got it. Amen. Go ahead and wave your phone at me, Timothy, wherever you're at. And it's your Bible. Amen. Somebody else I can pick on. Amen. You know what that Bible is there for? It's there to help us, to guide us. See all those little sticky notes up there? How many like sticky notes? If you come to my office, I have pads of sticky notes everywhere. I have packages, little things of sticky notes in my computer bag. But what we use more than sticky notes now, and I don't have, here it is, my phone. Whenever we have something that we've got to remember, we say, okay, Siri, or okay, Google. Oh, here goes my phone. See, it already knows. It knows I'm talking to it. Set a reminder. Remind me tomorrow at 7 a.m. that I need to be in Veneta by 9:30 for my oil change to keep the warranty up on my car. So I say all of that, and it puts it all in there. Tomorrow at 8 o'clock, it sends me a reminder. You've got 30 minutes to get where you're supposed to be, bud. So we have all these things in the world with technology and everything that helps us to remember. So I want us to grab a hold and realize that we have something that we constantly forget about. It's not on purpose. Let me ask you a question. How many of you guys can think of someone right now that's done you wrong? Now, think about that same person and try to remember something that they've done right for you. A long time before they ever do you wrong, they first of all had to do something nice to you to gain your trust. But the first time our boat gets blown out of the water, all that we remember is the bad experience that we had. Amen. So I want us to grab all of this launching pad here that I'm building that I'll try to revisit. We take all of these things, we all of God's benefits and His blessings, we take all of those things in and we love them and we enjoy them, we appreciate them, then all of a sudden we get attacked by the enemy. And we forget all about what He's done, and we just realize that He hasn't helped us where we're at. Amen. I know me and Pastor has been there, and Brother Jason a time or two. Amen. It's not easy to sit down. Me and my wife have sat down together and been distraught, been discouraged, been fighting things, and we've had to look at each other and tell each other and encourage each other on what God has done for us in the past. Because He might not work in the circumstance we're facing right now yet. We can't see it. He's doing something, but we don't know what it is. In the midst of a thunderstorm, can you look at that thunderstorm and see the other side and see the clear skies and the rainbow and the sun that's going to follow? No, we can't. All that we see is the storm. Amen. I want to encourage us tonight. Don't forget. Amen. Now we're going to launch off into the scriptures. If you got your Bible, which most of you showed me you had it, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. Amen. I've noticed here of late, this scripture, this set of scriptures, or at least this chapter, has popped up in several different messages and Sunday school lessons. And I had all this before then. Amen. I just think it's amazing how God works. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter number 12 and verse number 1. When you have it, say amen. And it says in verse number 1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. How many of you feel young in here tonight? Amen. I did until last Wednesday. Amen. Then I realized how old I was getting. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. We're going to skip down to verse number 13 and 14, and it says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Amen. A life without God, we can see this in verse number 1. A life without God can produce, first of all, bitterness, loneliness, and hopelessness. In old age, a life centered around God is fulfilling and can be richer and more bearable when we are faced with disabilities, sicknesses, or handicaps. That's why it is important that now, in the very moment that we have inside of our grasp, that we first of all seek God now. And second of all, that we remember in what He is doing in our life and what He has done. It doesn't matter if you're 10 years old or if you're 85 years old. If you still have life and you still have breath, then you are still alive. You still have a soul, amen, that can be transformed. Something that can be turned in and pliable and moved into something that God has created beautifully. Amen, that can be young again. A lot of times the older we get, say, "Well, my soul's just done." But I'm here to tell you, when the Holy Ghost of God, Brother Jason, begins to pour down into your heart, it doesn't matter how old you feel in body. I've seen people that are crippled, not supposed to be moving, that all of a sudden set up, begin to talk and walk around the room, and then whenever the presence of God left, they sat back down and couldn't move and talk. In Ecclesiastes here, Solomon shows us that we should enjoy life. This does not exempt us from obeying God's commands. Amen. Let's pray real quick. Church, Lord God, we pray. Get engrafted in God. It's not a pleasurable God, but it's sometimes painful, but in the end it brings forth fruit. God, I pray that you would help us, Lord, tonight. Move in this sanctuary and move around these altars, Lord, I pray. The church says amen. Amen. I got more I'm going to say. Go ahead and be seated tonight. But we find here that Solomon shows us that we should enjoy life. But this does not exempt us from obeying God's commands. We should search for purpose and meaning in life. But they cannot be found in human endeavors. Listen to me, young people. They cannot be found in youthful lusts. They cannot be found in just some endeavor that you look at and you say, "That looks like it's something I could enjoy." It has to be something that comes down with a purpose from inside of you that only comes from a burden that is borne down out and around an altar. We should search for purpose and meaning in life. That can't be found in human endeavors. We should acknowledge the evil, the foolishness, and the injustice in life. Yet maintain, here is the key, maintain a positive attitude and strong faith in God. All people will have to stand before God and be judged for what they have done in this life. We will not be able to use the inadequacies of life as an excuse for failing to live properly. We need, church, we need to recognize, first of all, the human effort apart from God is unfruitful. Second of all, we must realize that we've got to put God first now, not tomorrow. Receive everything good as a gift from God and realize that God will judge every person's life, whether good or evil. How strange that people spend their entire lives striving for joy. that God gives freely. We've got to realize that it's not something that we can conjure up ourselves. Because I'm here to tell you, the only thing that we can develop inside of ourselves, amen, is discouragement, depression, frustration, and disappointment. We can't create joy that will last eternity. Think of it is, you can have a child, and in the young ages of that child, you can have joy, you can have peace. Wait till that child begins to talk. I've been there. I'm still there. But Larry, remember the times when Michael was satisfied when you'd give him a bottle or a pacifier? Now, his dad, we got to go throw the football. Dad, we got to go swimming. Dad, we got to go for a drive. Or you have Brother Jonathan or Brother Larry there when it came time to, it's Dad, it's time for us to go find a car. Or they bring an ad in the newspaper, have something circled. Dad, look what we've got to go check out. Not everything in life is the stuff that can be happy and have all the tranquility and all the joy and just being where you want to be. Because there comes a point in time where you want to be that if you're lacking these three things that I'm going to cover here tonight very quickly, that if you're lacking these three things, you will always be found miserable in some fashion or facet of your life. Amen. That's why we have to, church, we have to remember. The time to remember these three things is now. Amen. I've already been 8 minutes in and I haven't went through my first point. Amen. First of all, Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 6. Amen. I really feel sorry for Pastor. He was talking about pressing, and I was saying, amen. Press on, Pastor, press on. Amen. Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 6. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Now, there's a very key point. Leave that verse up there, Brother Timothy, or whoever's running it right now. Amen. It says, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known. How many times do we start off our prayer with, thank you, Lord, for what you've given me today? No, we start our prayer with, God, you've got to help me right now. Just give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. The disciples said, teach us to pray. So we find here it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Amen. The second verse I want to read is Isaiah 64. We find here in Isaiah, he states, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens and that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. What are we finding here in Isaiah? What is he stating? What is he making? He's making a request. We look in verse number 7 and it says, and there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us and has consumed us because of our iniquities. I want to talk to us for just a moment here on the request. Be careful for nothing without prayer, supplication. Make your request be made known unto God. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens. How long has it been since we have requested the presence of God? Not that He do something in our problem or in our situation, but just ask Him, Lord God, would You come down? I don't want nothing but to commune with You. If we would begin, church, to get to that point and begin to make our requests known and begin to allow God to hear the cry of His child, we find that Isaiah said, he said, I'll go. God said, who's going to go for me? He said, I'll go. Let my request be heard in heaven. Let me begin to cry out and say, oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens once more. If we would begin to get out on our heart, amen, on our knees once more and begin to cry out to God and say, oh, would You come down? Oh, would You visit me once more? Oh, when I was saved, the way You came in, and all I felt was the love of God. If we would get that desire to hear from heaven. But we have to request it. We don't want to request it because, Isaac, it takes time. Brother Matthew, we don't want to request it because it takes energy. Brother Mike, we don't want to request it because it takes us being consistent. Brother Don, we don't want to request it because we know we're going to have to give a piece of our time up in order to survive in this world today. You have to have what? Money. In order to have money, you have to work. You work all of your life so that there comes a point in time in your age where you can retire. And when you retire, what ends up happening? I know quite a few retired folks. They retired with a part-time job. Because all those years they worked still doesn't pay for their way, Brother Jason. What are they doing? They're still putting in the time. They're doing what is required to survive. The reason your spiritual man is sitting on the pew and not getting any life back into it is because it's not doing what is required. I pulled muscles in my arm. Hey man, I have had to go through some painful, what I think is painful, an experiment that the doc does all the time. Yesterday, I went to him and it was very painful, Brother Jason, because the tissue wasn't getting the blood flow that it needed. So in order to get the blood flowing like it's supposed to, you have to work them muscles. He dug at those muscles. He pulled at those muscles. And he said, it's going to hurt. Brother Jason, I wanted to cry and hit him at the same time. He asked me, Brother Mike, to move my neck back and forth while he's working this muscle. And it hurt when I wasn't moving, and it really hurt when I was moving. And I would start to move it, and I would kind of go, just really get to going slow. And he said, you got to move it faster than that. There was a requirement that was there. I'm not supposed to be using this left hand too much. Amen. I'm holding the microphone with it tonight. It was a request. Amen. We find here in Isaiah, he said, and there's none that call upon thy name. There's no one stirring themselves because of our iniquities. What has happened here is I was reading that out of Ecclesiastes there, we find that you have to look at the whole duty of man. There are some endeavors that we have jumped off in, church, that is outside of the will of God. And we're still trying to do that activity and still trying to come and hear from God, but we're not doing what is entirely required of us. Amen. And what we begin to find, if we leave one of these things out, if we leave that request out, then we are not remembering Him. Malachi chapter 3 and verse number 10 says, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse. And Pastor hollers, amen. Amen. Church work day can go, we can get some stuff accomplished when people do their part. Some of us can't work, but some of us have $10 we can put in. Amen. Not going to harp on that too long. Amen. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Luke 6 and 38 says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. John 15 and 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Amen. 2 Timothy 1 and 6 says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I want to talk to you for here just for a few minutes. We've talked about the request. Let's talk about the requirement. We find in Malachi where he says, bring the tithe into the storehouse. There is a requirement for your house to be blessed. If you're taking what belongs to God and you're padding your own desires, you will not be fruitful. If you take what you're supposed to, that belongs to God, if you take that 10% and you do what you want with it, now this isn't me, church. This is the Bible. This is the Lord speaking here. He said, my house, make sure that my house has meat. Make sure that it's been taken care of. That 10% doesn't belong to you. That doesn't include offering. Offering is above and beyond. It's a gift. It's a love offering. It's, Lord, I'm giving this to you just because you've been extra good. I know some people that pay way more than 10%. I believe, and this, Brother Jason probably can correct me on this if I'm wrong, but I believe it was the man that started Caterpillar. He started his business, and he said, every dollar that I make, I'm going to take 15% of what comes in. I'm not going to put it in my company. I'm going to put it in the house of God. Every year he became more profitable. Every year the amount he was giving to God went up. It was way up there. Did he get up to like 80 or 90%? 90% of what was coming in, he was writing a check, sending it to the church, to the work of God, to missionaries, to ministries, so that they could be blessed in the same window. The windows were opened way up and blessings were pouring into this man's work because he was giving and he was doing it out of joy, a cheerful giver. He wasn't giving grudgingly. He was giving out of love. So if you're taking the 10%, I got to hurry, but if you're taking the 10%, amen, I'm going to use this here for just a second. You're taking the 10% you're supposed to come put in the offering plate. You take it, put it in your pocket, and go to the casino to try the slots or try the scratchers at the gas station. Let me tell you, you're robbing God. Amen. If you're taking that money, say, man, I sure want to go to Italy for a vacation. God will have to wait until I get my vacation paid for, and then I'll start paying my tithes and I'll even back tithe. That won't work. You might go on your vacation, but you're liable to get so intoxicated by stupidity that you never come back. I'm not saying come back to America or come back to your home, but you won't ever come back spiritually, because you began to damage the thing that God gave you. Amen. It's quiet in here. I need to move on. But this is a requirement that I believe in, because, church, it's right here in the Word of God. I found it, I've seen it proven, and I've seen it tested. Amen. My dad was supposed to give an offering to a missionary. It was the last, I think it was like $500 or $600. Dad felt the Lord speak to him. My dad didn't do it, Brother Jason. He said, I got to have that money for fuel. We were farming at this time. Got to have it for fuel. I got to have it for food. I'm not going to get any money coming in until we get all the grain in. The next day, Pastor, he's in the combine, going across the field that's never had a piece of sandstone in it in the 10 years we farmed it. Never turned over a rock. And out of nowhere, a sandstone rock about 3 foot around that came up to a point cut out the whole sidewall of a rice tire on the combine. That's about $1,200, Brother Jason, plus the $500 to have the truck come out and jack the combine up to get the tire off. My dad called that missionary and said, I am sending you a check. You say, well, that was just an accident. I think that was God trying to teach me a lesson at a young age, at my poor dear old dad's expense. If mom and dad's watching, love you guys. But there was a requirement that was made. And I've heard this, my dad would tell me this, he said, son, if you don't give to God, he will take it from you some other way. Just because you're going through a bad time might not mean that you're doing something wrong. It also could mean you're doing something right, but if you're doing something wrong and you know it, I want you to realize there is an awakening that is coming down your road. Amen. The requirement, church. We find that if we follow, first of all, the request, that there is a requirement that will be given. And if we give to Him liberally, the windows of heaven are going to be opened. A blessing that you cannot contain will flow into your life. It won't only flow into your life, it's going to overflow into everyone else around you. Amen. I'm losing my voice. Honey, pray for me. Amen. We find in Timothy where he said, stir up the gift of God. Remember, the requirement is for us to shake ourselves. Amen. It's up to us. That's what Paul was telling Timothy. Hey, son, you've not been stirring yourself. Amen. Like what you're supposed to. You've got comfortable sitting in your padded pew. You've got comfortable riding in your nice car. It's time that we realize we got to shake ourselves one more time. Amen. The reason Samson was able to pull those pillars down was because he was able to shake himself, realize how far he had fallen. But church, you don't have to fall. You can get right up where you're at, and you can go towards the mountaintop if you'll just remember the request and follow through with the requirement tonight. Hallelujah. I got 5 minutes to wrap this up. Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 4. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, They were all with one accord in one place. Does everybody know what that means? We're all in one place, but how many knows what it means to be in one accord? Amen. I got to be quick on this. What do I got, Michael? What is that? Tissue. All right, what do you think I have, Sister Betty? She's going to use an older term, hanky. London, what's Daddy have? She's not listening. What do I have? What is that? A napkin. Jonathan, what do you think that is? Handkerchief. Surprised nobody says an old dirty snot rag. I didn't make it to you on purpose. But what's happening? Everybody has looked at this. So we're all in one mind. We're all in one accord. We might be thinking about different things. Man, he's wiped his nose with that 3 or 4 times. Or, man, I wish he'd wipe some more of that snot or slobber off the microphone. Or, I hope he's keeping the iPad clean with that. What has happened? We're all thinking on the same thing. And the day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all of the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it set upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Church, talked about the request, the requirement. Now we come down to the reward. The reward. I want to tell you, getting the Holy Ghost is just a sample, hallelujah, of what your reward is going to be like. Just a touch from the hand of God with that dove that comes and begins to rest upon your shoulder. And Brother Mike, you all of a sudden feel something that you know is outside of this world. That begins to bring strength. That begins to renew our heart. Sister Janet, when we feel in pain, we just have to stand up. We begin to wave our hand. Or we just begin to say amen. Why? Because we're getting a sample of what the reward is. Amen. The Holy Ghost brings strength in time of weakness. It brings victory in time of loss. It brings hope. Hallelujah. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We've got to be faithful. We've got to be diligent. We've got to be active. We've got to be consistent in trying. Amen. To meet the requirement, to follow through with the request, so that we can see the reward, church. Amen. We're coming up on a revival, but it's up to us. Amen. If we want personal revival right now, it's to begin to meet, amen, the request, the requirement, so that we can see the reward come down. Revelation 22:12 says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am the Alpha and the Omega and the beginning and the end. He says he's the first, the last. Hallelujah. The blessed are them that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into that city from earth to heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm running my last mile home. Amen. I can see them pearly gates. Amen. Breaking through the clouds. I can hear, amen, that group hollering, son, look at your reward. Remember what you're fighting for. Keep on with the request. Keep on meeting the requirement, because your reward, hallelujah, your reward is near. Hallelujah. Sister Lindsay, get ready to come. You, Jesus. The reward. The only way we get these three things together is if we don't forget. You have to remember. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, Brother Larry. Brother Rick, we're not distressed. It says, yet not distressed. Brother Matthew, we are perplexed. Brother Jason, we are not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, and you better believe it, baby, we're getting back up. Church, because if we remember, we cannot be destroyed in this world. Because if heaven, amen, is pushing for us, hell has no claim. Because we, amen, are looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Church, it's time. Today is the day, amen, to remember what is required. Amen, remember your reward. Amen. It's heaven. Amen. It's a home filled with loved ones that's gone on before. I've had days, Brother Mike, Mimi, I've had nights that I've wondered about giving up. But Sister Sarah, in those moments, the reward would appear to me in my mind of a loved one that's already there. But Larry, it might be a friend. It might be a child. Sister Kathy, that I know that I've lost. Brother Robert, I can have that hope because I am meeting the request. Oh God, forget about my need. Just remember my soul. Brother Timothy, I got to tell myself there's a requirement, Lord, that I know I've got to meet. Jason, he's called us. Are we doing what he's called? Sister Pepper, there is a reward that's waiting. You know, and it's not just that crown that we're looking for. Brother Matthew, it's seeing all them souls that we've helped to win. We say, Lord, that's made it worth the journey. You know, those pains, those things that I've lost. Brother Matthew, the things that have been dear to you that you have lost. Look at those things, not as things that are gone. But up in heaven, there is a trophy that has been set before you. It says, keep on. Sister Janet, there's family you've not talked to that's talking to you now. That's a trophy that's being set up, saying, press on just a little bit longer. Brother Terry, one more step, and I'll be to heaven. One more step. It's always just one more. We don't have to look at the river we've got to cross, the valley we've got to go through. We don't even have to look at the mountaintop we got to climb over. Just remember, Brother Larry, it's just one more step. I'm one more day closer to Him than I was yesterday because I'm praying, Lord, help me to remember my request. Lord, come down to where I am at. Lord, help me to remember my requirement to give back to you. Amen. Job, at the end, when he finally gave up, got a fresh start, he took those things to the altar, cut their throat, and made an offering to God. And said, Lord, I remember I was offering daily. I've had a long time that I hadn't had anything to offer, Brother Jason. Soon as I got something in my hand, first place he went was to the altar. If we would get back to realizing the value of the altar. Let's stand, church. Remember tonight. Church, remember. Hey, man, I've already made my altar call. If you want to remember, right here is the place you start. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to remember those sweet days of old. Say, Lord, rain down in my heart. Fill me fresh and new. Let me see your cross in new light. Church, come. Don't linger. Now's the time. Today is the day. Don't miss your window of opportunity when the blessing of God can flow down into your life. We've got to kick down the door. We got to open up the window. We got to tear the roof off. We got to get back to saying, oh God, that thou wouldest rend the heaven, that you would melt the mountain that I'm around.